So as we finish our reading from the prophet Jeremiah, he gives us this great promise of the new covenant to come. It will not be like the covenant I made with your fathers, but this covenant I will write on their hearts. The old covenant written on stone proved to be incapable of salvation, of bringing the people to salvation. The Lord, in his mercy, promises that the day will come when that law will be written on our hearts, this new covenant, this new heart that we will receive through Jesus Christ, that contrite and humble heart that David wrote about, sang about in Psalm 51. A heart contrite and humble, O God, you will not spurn. Create within me a new heart. This should be the cry of each one of us, especially as we examine our consciences and realize the moments when we have chosen sin, we've chosen to go against what God has said is the way, the truth, and the life for our lives. We beg God to give us a new heart, a heart contrite and humble. The prophet Ezekiel says just that, that the Lord will take away our stony hearts and give us fleshy hearts. And this is the promise of the new covenant. The new covenant which is made present to us each day on the holy altar, which we know has been entrusted to the church that we heard about in the gospel that Jesus founded on Peter. This visible structure through which we are certain to encounter the merciful heart of Jesus. The heart of Jesus is the love of the priesthood, as St. John Vianney would say. This great saint, the patron of all parish priests, the great model and intercessor for me and for all priests throughout the world. This man who was illiterate until about the age of 17. And as he went on to pursue the studies for the priesthood, had a very difficult time. Barely made it through the academic studies. You know, he was coming up just after the French Revolution, which sought to eradicate the church from the face of the earth. This rise of rationalism, which we still see today in distrust the science nonsense. This materialistic worldview. And if that is the case, then we don't need the church, and we definitely don't need the priesthood. But in God's mercy, he brought up to us St. John Vianney and so many great saints that when he was assigned to the village of Ars in southern France, the bishop said, "You will go to Ars and you will find no love there, but you will bring love." A small village that you can still visit today with the modern conveniences of our world, but not much different than when John Vianney lived there. You can go to the house where he lived. You can go to the church, the altar where he prayed Mass, where he preached, the confessional where we heard thousands and thousands and thousands of confessions. You can go and see this humble place where hearts were transformed. No one was going to Mass when he got there. No one in the village was going to Mass. But he was faithful to his call, faithful to his identity as Christ, as priest, and faithfully and reverently celebrated the Holy Mass and began to fast. He told the Lord he would sacrifice his body to whatever necessary in order to convert the souls of the people of the village of Ars. He would barely eat, would barely sleep. And it's not simply the heroic acts that he did that were so miraculous. It's that by doing those things, he emptied himself of himself completely so that he could be filled with the love of Jesus. And this is the call for each one of our priests. And this is why you should be praying for me and for all of our priests, that we can die to self completely, so that the heart, the love of God would dwell completely within us. The people weren't going to Mass. They spent their days on Sunday working or going to the bars, just having frivolous fun, what we call now Sunday fun day. That was all he encountered. And the illicit dancing that he encountered, which I'm sure was nothing compared to what we have today that we call dancing. The things we let our daughters do on TikTok, I'm sure is nothing. It's so much worse than what St. John Vianney almost killed himself in penances to convert the hearts of those people. And one night, there were three young girls who had been at the bar doing whatever. As they were walking home, they passed by his church, and they heard this wailing coming from inside. And as they peered through the window, they saw this man, emaciated through fasting, just crying and wailing to the tabernacle, begging for the conversion of the hearts of the people in the village. That vision, that image, moved the hearts of one of those ladies, and she became a close companion of his and helped him in his mission. St. John Vianney would fight with the devil. The devil set his bed on fire. He would wake up bruised from his true battles with the devil at night. But St. John Vianney came to realize that whenever the attacks of the evil one became the most strong, the strongest temptations, the strongest attacks, he knew that there was a great sinner coming to confession. So it got him ready for that encounter with mercy. When someone would come and they didn't have a well-formed conscience, and they seemed to be kind of just mediocre, St. John Vianney would weep. He said, "I weep for your sins because you do not." But then he would give them a very light penance, and he would in turn do the harsh penance that their sins deserved. He had the ability to read souls. He would spend hours, I'm sure we know the story, hours, 10, 15, 18 hours a day hearing confessions, eating rotten potatoes, drinking fermented milk without refrigeration as his only sustenance. People would come from miles, hundreds of miles away, have the saintly priest to hear his confession. This man who started out as a poor farmer, not able to read or write until almost 20 years old. Probably not the model that we would look at in today's age as the one that we want to imitate. But as the scriptures tell us, the Lord looks at the heart. We judge by appearances. And it's the condition of our heart that will save us. St. John Vianney said, the priest is not a priest for himself. He's a priest for you. The priest is the one who can unlock the treasures of the tabernacle. He said, what good is it to have a storeroom full of gold if there's no one to open the door? The priest is the one who opens the door, the treasures of God's mercy for the people. We beg St. John Vianney to move the hearts of the faithful, so those of us who've been ordained can become holy priests. Those men in formation will desire to be holy priests, and that many more young men will sacrifice the natural goods of this world so that we can have more people available to unlock the treasures, the storehouse of mercy and grace. He said, can you imagine if we would do for God what so many of us are willing to do for the world, how many more people would go to heaven? Let's ask him for that grace, to have a new heart, to have the love of God, the mercy of God written on our hearts, that the Lord will create in us, through his intercession, new hearts, hearts on fire for Jesus and for the salvation of souls. Let us have the courage to do for God what so many people are willing to do for the world.